As we were saying, my name is Mark Stigler. I'm with the Virus Safe Computing Initiative at HP Labs. And we are looking beyond federated identity to see how we can make these things work better. One of the things that I and my predecessor agree on is, in large measure, the way access control is generally done these days, which is that there's this authentication requester. And if you want to use a resource, you go to the authentication requester. You engage in a song and dance with the authentication requester at the end of which the authentication requester knows your identity. But that's not directly useful because what you actually need to know is whether that particular identity is actually authorized to use the resource. So the authentication requester goes off to the authorization checker, which looks to see whether that identity has the authority to use that resource. And then you're granted access to the resource. Now, in fact, this is a refactorable problem. At the time when we go to access the resource, we really don't care about your identity. We only care about whether you are authorized. So let's refactor this. In the following fashion, when someone decides that you need the authority to access a resource, then that person does whatever authenticating is appropriate. Perhaps they use Shibboleth, perhaps they use something else. But at the end, what they give you is they grant you a self-authorizing access reference. And then when you actually go, and that can take place once, and then thereafter, for months and years thereafter, what you do is you use this self-authorizing access. You go straight to the authorization checker. The authorization checker sees that this is authorized and grants you access to the resource. So this is a much simpler diagram, and it has a number of interesting properties with respect to flexibility. What would a self-authorizing access referent look like? What would be its ideal properties in order to make this move very smoothly and in a very streamlined fashion? Well, first of all, this referent needs to be able to be associated with any kind of a resource. Web pages, compute servers, database views, whatever you have, you want to be able to associate with one of these things. You need it to be oblivious to the administrative domain that it's running in. We no longer need the identity to access the service. Let us be indeed oblivious to the identity administration domain that we're running in, and then we don't have to deal with any of that stuff. As a part of that, typically an administrative domain is associated with a firewall, so you really want this to just pass smoothly and seamlessly through all the firewalls. You want to not know or care how many firewalls there are laying around. These things should be recomposable. They need to be revocable. They need to be selectable so that you can select a specific access authority and use only that one rather than using some very large, very powerful a bundle of authorities like all of your credential that gives access to all of your authority, which is the problem that was being pointed out in the question about the Navy's problem. The intermediary in that problem had to be able to impersonate the user with all of his credentials and all of his authority, which causes a violation of the principle of least privilege. And, of course, these self-authorizing references need to be cryptographically secure. The pipe needs to be encrypted end-to-end. The server that you're making the access to needs to be authenticated so that you're not being spoofed by DNS cache poisoning or something. And the user needs to be authorized. So there are several different ways of building self-authorizing accesses. One of the ways that we have done it is we have actually used SAML certificates, the same kind of certificates that Shibboleth uses, although we use the SAML certificate in a very different way to make it into an authorization mechanism rather than an authentication mechanism. But for the purpose of explaining this so that one can easily understand it, there's another self-authorizing access reference that makes the best one for an introduction. And that is the web key. The web key is just a universal resource locator, a URL. It has a number of special properties. Starting at the far end and working our way to the left, the first interesting property is that the name of the resource that you are accessing is a cryptographically strong, unguessable page name, so that the only way you can know the name is to actually have been given it by someone. So simply knowing the name is actually proof that you have the authority to make this access. The second interesting piece is the orange piece. This is the fingerprint associated with the private key of the service that controls this resource. Web browsers and servers that know about web keys are able to use this fingerprint to challenge the server to prove that it's the owner of the private key before it reveals the page name. Okay, so this is the authentication of the server. And finally, since this is an HTTPS URL, it's guaranteed that the pipe is encrypted end-to-end. Lastly, something that was not included in my list of requirements for self-authorizing access, but nonetheless is a really nice freebie to get, is that there's a very simple user interface for these things. If you were to use a web key to access Gmail, you would just simply click on the bookmark, which is the web key, and you would go straight to your Gmail inbox. You would not need a sign-on page. You would never have to have a username that you have to remember, nor a password that you will invariably forget. Okay. I'm told I'm out of time. A real quick example of using these things to do resource composition. We've got Alice in Administrative Domain A, Bob in Administrative Domain B. The two of them decide they want to work on a joint project. Alice has a page or a list of resources in Domain A. And the joint project needs R2 and R3. So what she does is she manufactures a separately revocable web key for each one of those things and throws it into the collection of things for the project. Bob does the same thing. And now all of a sudden we've got a new project with a new different list of authorities, each of which is separately revocable at the end of the project. Bottom line, if you access all of your resources with get web keys, then you can get to your resources no matter where you are, regardless of identity administration boundaries. You can also share those resources on a selectable need-to-use basis with anybody that you need to share it with, regardless of identity administration boundaries. And at that point, the question becomes, why would you ever bother to federate an identity? Thank you.